My name's Will Shires, and this is Talking Trucks. Today, I'm in Yokohama, Japan, at Isuzu's global headquarters, where I'm joined by Isuzu Truck UK Managing Director, Pete Murphy, Commercial Director, Stuart Beaton, and Operations and Product Director, Tim Hicks. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hi, Will, and thanks very much for inviting us on this podcast. We're delighted to be here.
No, I'm glad you can be. Thank you. Now, to start with, why don't the three of you introduce yourselves? Tell the listeners what you do, how you got into the industry. Let's start with you, Pete, because I think I'm right in saying you started in sales, didn't you? But not truck sales.
I did start in sales. My first ever sales role, would you believe, was working for a company called Philip Morris, selling cigarettes. And then I actually got into the industry in 1993, working for Lex Transfleet. Okay. And I'd gone from the FMCG industry into the wonderful world of commercial vehicles. And it was quite a transition, I don't mind admitting. And I had 5 years with Lex Transfleet. And then in 1998, all my stars aligned and I was invited to join Isuzu Truck UK Limited.
Okay. And how long have you been MD?
I've been MD since November the 1st, 2013, so it's now unbelievably coming up 13 years.
Okay. Stuart, your turn now. Tell us how you got into the industry. Of course, I've known you from two previous manufacturers as well, haven't I, over the years?
Yes, Will, you have, from Iveco and from MAN. I've been in the industry for over 40 years, Will. You might not believe that, but pretty much when I left school, I got into the industry. I worked in the dealer network, primarily Ford and Iveco Ford. I spent 15 years working with Iveco, which was a really important part of my career. Then with MAN for 3 years, with the launch of the MAN TG light range of commercial vehicles.
Okay.
And then I joined, really pleased to join Isuzu Truck back in September 2021. So it'll be 5 years in September this year.
Brilliant. What about you, Tim?
Yeah, thanks, Will. Also, I've been in the industry my whole career as well. So I started with a technical apprenticeship with West Midlands Travel, what now is National Express. Did my apprenticeship with them, worked in a few dealerships, and then ended up working for Stevenson's College doing some training. Contracted to a couple of different manufacturers, and then ended up doing some training for Isuzu and joined the company in 1999.
Okay, brilliant. Now, before we get on to the exciting news coming out of Road Transport Expo in a couple of weeks' time, and there's plenty to discuss on that front, I've got to say I've been absolutely blown away by the scale of Isuzu here in Japan. It's the domestic market leader, and they're absolutely everywhere. I've learned that they're on sale in 150 countries worldwide, and they lead the market in more than 50 of those countries. We did a factory tour where they make 350,000 trucks per annum, with one rolling off the production line every 1 minute and 45 seconds. Those are staggering figures. It's only when you come here to Japan you realise just how enormous this company is. Do you think other people are as ignorant as me when it comes to the sheer size of Isuzu?
I think it's certainly one of the biggest kept secrets within the UK truck industry, just the global reach of Isuzu and what a truly automotive giant that they actually are. I think since my journey, since 1998, I think the brand's certainly grown in more prominence. And when I began in the fleet department, quite often you'd ring a prospective new customer up and the question would be who, and, you know, never heard of you. And I think we're well past that now, aren't we, Stuart? Because we're number one currently, I must stress currently, in the 7.5 ton range and number four in the 3.5 ton chassis cab. So, you know, I think you've seen great progression with the brand even during your time.
I think I've seen a lot of progression in the last sort of 4.5 years. And as Pete says, been number four at 3.5 ton chassis cab and currently number one at 7.5 tons. We're in an incredibly strong position. But I think overall, Will, one of the reasons we're not as well known as the other brands is because we're only in sort of less than 9% of the overall commercial vehicle market. We're 3.5 tonnes to 13.5 tonnes. So we're in a fairly small sector of the business.
Yeah, okay. Well, in a minute, I'm going to ask you exactly what the product lineup is. So hold that thought. Now, Something else I've only just discovered is that at 110 years old, Isuzu is Japan's oldest vehicle manufacturer and actually started building Wolseley trucks out here. But Isuzu Truck UK also has a bit of history, and I think I'm right in saying it's celebrating 30 years this year?
It absolutely is, yes. The journey began during 1996 when Nikki got a great team of people together. Nikki was heading up the Lex National Fleet team at the time, and at the time Lex were looking for other brands to sort of add to their Lex portfolio. And yeah, the journey began in 1996 with an 85% Lex shareholding, 10% Isuzu shareholding, and 5% of the company at that time was owned by the Itochu Corporation, which is one of the major Japanese trading houses. And I believe I joined in 98, but Nikki used to tell me that everyone kind of in the industry gave the company 6 months, 12 months at most. But clearly, the people at that time, at the formation of the country, realised just what a great brand it was, how reliable it was. And I think everyone, even when I joined in 98, was kind of saying that the industry's oversubscribed, there's too many truck manufacturers. And to be fair to them, you know, some very prominent names since then have come and gone. And here we are still thriving. So I guess over the years, you know, we've got something right in terms of fabulous products from our colleagues here in Japan from a manufacturing perspective. And then in terms of the after sales element that really we major on in the UK with our customer care program, over the years, we've just gone from strength to strength as a brand, really well.
Now, what really amazes me is in that 30 years, Isuzu Truck UK has only had two MDs, Nikki King and yourself, Pete. That's an incredibly unusual thing in this industry. So does that stability become a genuine business advantage?
It really does. It's an advantage for the business, and it's an advantage for, I guess, our dealers and our many customers, because we tend to conceive strategies that we have to be very, very confident on a positive outcome, because, you know, the simple fact is that I'm going to be there when the results of those.
Of course, there's
absolutely. So I'm there to face whatever the outcome happens to be, and fortunately, we haven't really got an awful lot wrong, and we've got many, many things right over that period, thankfully.
Brilliant. Now, Nikki King is something of a legend in the UK truck industry. She was clearly hugely influential on the business. What about you personally, Pete? What did you learn from her?
I learned everything from Nikki, and I don't mind admitting this, that she literally changed my life. I met Nikki at a Lex Connections event in early 1996, and we just kind of sat in the bar and we were talking about lots of different things, and she was such an inspiration. She was not afraid to voice her thoughts. She was not afraid to be slightly controversial. I guess most people in the industry know Nikki, and I just found her an absolutely unbelievable person. And then I got a phone call and it was the day my life changed, and she just said, "Hi hun, we're looking for a fleet guy up the north. Do you fancy coming on board?" And I'll never forget the interview. I came down, I drove down from Newcastle down to just outside of Hatfield. It was the old office at the time. And I met my then boss, a guy called Neil Mackay. He took me round, I met some people. I thought, wow, what a buzz, what an amazing, amazing place. And we chatted for a while, and then Neil said, "Look, do you want to come on board?" And I said, "Absolutely, yes, I do." He said, "Do you want to chat with your wife?" I said, no, I definitely want to come on board." And then I'll never forget, as I walked out of the office, I looked back and I said, "By the way, I've brought a CV. Do you want to know anything else about me?" And I'll never forget, he said, "We know who you are. We just wanted to see if you'd fit in with the team." And that's a message that stuck with me ever since then. And even now, every final interview that takes place within the companies with me, just to make sure that precious culture that Nikki began never ever dissipates. We don't want to ever dilute it. And she instilled in me a sense of belief that everyone in a business can make a difference. And that's a message I've tried to carry on throughout the business ever since.
And that's excellent. Now, am I right in thinking that in the early days they were actually assembled at Leyland?
They were indeed, yes. They were assembled at Leyland. And they were there for a couple of years. And then when Paccar took over Leyland, I think it was decided that from their side of things, it wasn't an arrangement they were particularly comfortable with. There was a little bit of, oh my goodness, what's next? And then I believe Nicky had a chat with John Bryant at ERF. And John said, look, we've got some spare capacity at the old ERF plant at Sandbach. So we moved there. And then, of course, a little while later, history repeated itself and MEN took over ERF. And suddenly we had to move production to Portugal.
But now it's in Japan. So how did that come about?
Well, so for many years, we moved from Portugal. Then for many years, it was in Chiria in northern Italy that the vehicles were assembled. And then, of course, we had the Brexit debate and the decision was taken that we'd leave the European Union. And suddenly we were facing the prospect of 10% tariffs, where prior to that, we'd enjoyed tariff-free sort of entry of the vehicles into the UK. Suddenly everything was going to cost us 10%. And at that point in 2020, we moved the supply of vehicles from Italy directly in complete knockdown form from Japan. That really kind of changed our business at the time, because it meant that where we would have had a volume restriction from the Italian plant, we had suddenly great success, and it meant that we saved a little bit of time in terms of the supply of vehicles from point of order from, you know, to receipt. But also it meant that we had the ability to order the product in much greater quantities.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, how often do you three come over to Japan?
Well, this is my fifth time to be here, and it's fantastic. I was really taken by the country when I first arrived, or first came over in 2022. And as you have found, as you said at the start of this podcast, I didn't realise the size and global reach of the Isuzu company. So for me at the moment, it appears to be a couple of times a year, and I'm always happy to come across, see our Isuzu colleagues, because I think you get far more done with them on a face-to-face basis. You build relationships with your colleagues over here. So it's great. So my fifth time, Tim?
Oh, crikey. Well, the first time I came to Japan was in 1997. Before I actually even worked directly for Isuzu, and I've probably been, I would imagine now, 30 or 40 times. And as Stuart said, a fabulous country. I absolutely love it, and I love the brand. It's fantastic to visit the factory. It's great to go to the head office, meet all of our colleagues face-to-face, and yeah, thoroughly enjoy it.
I've been over many, many times, as you have, Tim. And for instance, last year I came across, I think it was six times. Mm. And it's a wonderful culture. It's a really, truly beautiful place. And I guess it's our grandparents used to tell us about a UK society that kind of, to me, their stories is the kind of culture and society that you experience in Japan even now. And we make lots of friends over the years, and it's a very warm relationship between our parent company and ourselves. I think even during this particular visit, we had an instance, didn't we, when we were walking along the street and one of our colleagues who's currently on paternity leave, who had his daughter only 2 months ago, spotted us and came racing over and said, please, please, let me introduce you to my daughter and his wife. And so there's a real kind of collective spirit of relationship there.
So which of the three of you can speak the best Japanese?
Tim.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Come on, let's hear a bit.
It's an incredibly, well, I can say, Yoroshiku onegaishimasu, which means very nice to meet you in a very formal and polite way.
Right.
But it's an incredibly difficult language. Pete and I had lessons for a while. We tried our absolute best, and I think it's incredibly important to try and learn at least a few words out of respect for our colleagues, and we try all the time. I think the first time Stuart came in 2022. We put together a little sheet with some common Japanese phrases with the explanation for them, and it was the biggest test of trust I think ever that Stuart believed it was actually what it was. Yeah, it's a tough language, but we continue to try our best.
So my English colleagues in our Hatfield office actually think I have a cheek trying to learn Japanese, because in their opinion, coming from the north, they don't think I've actually mastered English yet.
So importantly, I assume one of you can say four beers, please, because at the end of this podcast, that is definitely called for, I think.
Yotsubiru kudasai.
Oh, very, very good. Now, one thing Isuzu has always been known for in the UK is customer service. Nikki King famously used to give out her personal phone number with every new truck sold. So, Pete, do you still do that? And more importantly, has anyone ever called?
Well, Nikki's home number, because she remained as our executive chairman, Nikki's home number has remained on those customer letters. I, unfortunately, was not in a position to do likewise because I live in Newcastle, but I actually work down in Hatfield. So for me to give that sort of access to customers, I need to give the number of the hotel that are staying in Hatfield, which wouldn't quite have the effect. But I do, everyone, all of the senior management team and the directors, all of their mobile numbers are given out when anyone purchases a vehicle. So I do get calls on my mobile. And there was one particular incident I remember when it was a Friday morning and I was working from home. And a chap rang me up and he said, "Is that Pete Murphy?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Wow, I'm incredibly impressed. I bought one of your vehicles. I live down in the southwest of England. I'm a scaffolder. And I'm impressed that I've managed to get through to you." And I kind of said to him, "Wow, I think you need to raise the bar slightly higher in terms of what makes you impressed." But yeah.
That's brilliant. Now, for people who aren't familiar with the Isuzu product lineup, talk us through the current range and weight. I know you started on that, but tell us exactly what you offer.
Well, we offer a range of commercial vehicles in chassis cab form wheel from 3.5 tonnes up to 13.5 tonnes in the UK market. So at 3.5 tonnes, we do particularly well in the chassis cab sector. We're number four. In the 7.5 tonne sector, we were number one in the market in 2023, which we were really incredibly proud of. And so far this year in 2026, we're currently number one in the market based on the SMMT's registration statistics that come out. And then, of course, 11 and 13.5 tonne vehicles, all in, as I say, in chassis cab form.
Okay. Now, are they bodied in the UK? Is everything bodied in the UK?
Everything's bodied in the UK. We have three bodybuilder partners that produce what we call our drive-away range. That ranges from a 3.5-ton tipper, drop-side arboriculturalist vehicle, through 7.5-ton tipper, drop-side box and curtain-side vehicles. So we offer a full range of drive-away bodied vehicles. All of those come with a three-year unlimited mileage warranty, as does all of our chassis, three-year unlimited mileage warranty. So, yeah, we have a pretty good range in a relatively small sector of the market.
And I know you're strong as well in curbside food waste, aren't you? And that's a sector that's really picking up due to legislation at the moment, isn't it?
Yes, we've done particularly well in that sector in the last 18 months or so. As the legislation came in for food waste collection from businesses, and then earlier this year, food waste collection for domestic from roadside, with three or four bodybuilder partners, we've been particularly successful in that area, mainly with our 7.5-tonne product, but also with 11-tonne. 7.5-tonne product because it offers such a fantastic footprint of a vehicle, offers fantastic payload, and therefore the combination of the chassis with the specialist bodywork that's required for that these bodybuilders produce, it makes the ideal product. Lots of local authorities have chosen us.
Now, over here, there's countless Isuzu curtain siders and box vans, but I tend not to see too many of those in the UK. Why is that?
Well, I think, if you look at the 7.5-tonne sector, we're number one in every other body type apart from box and curtain side, where DAF are incredibly strong. They have a fantastic product and they do really well in that particular sector. Our size and footprint of the vehicle really lends itself more towards the drop side and tippers in the market. But please don't underestimate where we do. We're number two at least in the box and curtain side sector. And as we launch our new model later in the year, we've got some plans around, which I'm going to keep a little bit secret for the time being, around improving our share in those two really, really important body type sectors.
Is it difficult explaining to your Japanese colleagues why you aren't as strong in those sectors as they are over here?
I think it's something that we spend quite a lot of time sharing knowledge with them so they understand the UK market and understand what UK customers look for. So I think sometimes the fact that if customers are doing longer distance with three men operations, sometimes they want that slightly larger European cab. The compact design that we have gives us many, many advantages in terms of turning circle, payload capability. So on one hand, it works really well. On the other hand, sometimes depends on the operation specifically for the customer's requirements.
Okay. So how many do you currently sell in the UK?
So we'll sell about 1,000 7.5 tonne vehicles a year and about 1,200 3.5 tonners, and then a splattering of 5.5, 6.5 and our F series. So around 2,500. But I think with our new model arriving later this year, we've got some big plans as we go into 2027 and beyond.
Now, over here in Japan, I've seen some really unusual Isuzus. There's the Giga, which is an eight-legger. But are we ever going to see any of those in the UK?
I think at the moment, not. We're certainly working with our Japanese colleagues on potentially looking at additional product. I think it's a difficult situation because, of course, it's all volume related. So when we look at things like homologation and testing costs, we have to weigh that up against the kind of volume that we might sell against the European competition in the UK. So at the moment, no plans for eight wheelers or tractor units, but watch this space and we'll see what maybe comes in the future.
Because back in, I think it was around about 2006, 2007, you did bring in the 18 tonner for a short time. What went wrong there? Why didn't that work?
We did bring the 18 tonner in. I think maybe we didn't work as hard on our market research as we might have done before we released that product. The specification, I don't think, was as good as potentially it could have been against some of the European brands. So there was also a slight issue around pricing, and I think although it was a good product at the time, it wasn't necessarily exactly what we wanted it to be. So we made the decision that we would discontinue that range. And as I said, potentially maybe we'll look at something again in the future.
And I think as well, we learned a bit of a lesson, didn't we, with everything you've said there about the specification. There have been a couple of occasions when we have had the opportunity to actually have bigger product, and we've come across, we've looked at the offering, we've test drove at the Hokkaido test track facility, and we made the decision that we just didn't feel it was the right product to offer at that particular time. So that was a big lesson for us, really.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the big reason why we're all here. You're going to be launching a new range of trucks at Road Transport Expo. Now, this podcast goes out on the 11th of June, I think. That's a few weeks ahead of RTX. So are you able to give us any details, a little teaser perhaps?
Well, I'm not going to give everything away because we're really looking forward to launching it at the Road Transport Expo at the end of June. But what I will say is the new product retains all of the quality features that the existing model does in terms of reliability, durability, payload, etc. But the new range will come with satellite navigation, air conditioning as standard, and some fantastic safety features that come along with the new range as we launch it in a few weeks' time.
Okay, so are you able to give us an idea of a launch timetable, as in when will the first ones come to the UK?
So currently we have start of production in August in Japan. So we'll physically see products on the UK shores around October time coming in. And then, of course, obviously vehicles need to have bodies built and such like. But certainly at our port of entry, we'll start to see vehicles arriving from October.
Okay. Now, when I was at the test track, I did notice an electric version. Are we going to be getting any of those?
Yeah, we'll get a 7.5 tonne EV early next year, which, again, we're really excited about because we're particularly strong in that sector, as I talked about earlier. And we've got a lot of our existing customers who are looking for an EV at 7.5 tonnes. So we're really excited about that.
Okay, brilliant. And what about fuel cell? Is that something that's on the agenda? Because I know Isuzu does do some fuel cell buses, don't they? So it's got to be a technology they're working with.
Yeah, certainly Isuzu are working on fuel cell technology, that's for sure. Maybe on some of the heavier ranges of product. Indeed, well, you mentioned buses. We have fuel cell buses in Japan, fuel cell multi-axle vehicles and fuel cell tractor units. But currently in the weight ranges that we sell in the UK at the moment, the main zero emission technology is still battery EV.
Now, the one I drove at the test track, auto gearbox, I won't reveal what auto gearbox, but that was lovely, really nice to drive. Do anyone still specify a manual gearbox? Is it even available still?
Manual gearboxes are still available, of course. At 7.5 tonnes, we probably sell 85% now with our AMT transmission. I think some customers still like to take an auto for particular applications, but for sure the way that the market's going, more and more either fully automatic or automated manual transmission seem to be the preference for most customers.
Now, tell me, why is it virtually everyone I see is white? Is it available with other colours out the factory?
Well, without giving too much more away, we're hoping with our new model launch to be able to offer a few more colours available to customers in the UK market.
Okay, now in Japan, the 3.5 tonner is called the Elf, and of course you guys call it the Grafter. Was Elf not considered macho enough for the British truck buyers? What's the deal there?
We definitely felt that Grafter was a stronger name in the UK. We didn't feel we'd have the best chance of selling Elf.
Seeing the factory firsthand was a real eye-opener for me. The emphasis on quality control was extraordinary. Would you agree with that comment?
Absolutely, 100%. I think Isuzu, as I said earlier, is a truly, truly global brand. And there are many assembly plants all over the world, and the control of the quality is absolutely first class. But I think, as you heard the description, even from our colleagues at IML themselves, they call it the mothership in terms of production. And I think the quality out of there, despite those huge volumes, Will, that you mentioned earlier, the quality that comes out is absolutely second to none. And we literally, over the last 30 years, would not have enjoyed the success and the development of the brand that we've had in the UK without that nailed on reliability.
Now, I actually own a D-Max myself. I know that's not an Isuzu Trucks product, but the quality of that is fantastic. So I can certainly vouch for the build quality there. As we come to the end of this podcast, talk to me about the dealer network. What's the UK network like? How many sites have you got?
Oh, we've got about 60 authorised repairers, of the which 46 are full sales dealers. And they're a great group of people, from small independently owned dealerships, privately owned dealerships, to some of the larger groups that have got other franchises. And in many cases, we are the secondary franchise. When I joined the business back in 2021, I was a little concerned as to whether or not some of those dealers would see us as seriously as I would want them to. And I was really pleased very early on when I joined the company to realise how significant we are to some of those multi-franchise dealers, where, you know, they're selling big volumes of other brands, but actually the focus and attention they give to us and our franchise is fantastic. From an after-sales point of view, the network's really strong. We spend a lot of time on technician training.
We do, Stuart. Yeah. We do lots of training. We offer a full master technician program to all of our dealerships. Indeed, we mandate that every dealer has to have master technicians. And just back on the subject of Japan, we bring two technicians across to Japan to compete in a big global skills test once a year as well, which is a fabulous experience for them. But we have a great sales network, a great after sales network, who really support our product in the best way.
And one of the things that Nicky drilled into everybody that joined in the Isuzu in the late 90s was, we don't do egos. We do not do egos. And what we say to our network is, look, with having, you know, those other marks represented throughout our network, we should be able to, the way that we run our brand in the UK, we should be able to sort of adopt the very best bits that all of the other manufacturers that you know, our dealer network work with. And we're not sort of, you know, conceited enough to think that we know how to do it best. So we're constantly listening to our network and how can we develop and how can we continue to offer a better and better after sales service to our many customers.
So are you happy with the number of dealers you've got then? Is there room for any more? And on that subject, what about your market share? Are you looking to grow that? In which case you will definitely need more dealers.
Well, Will, two questions there. Firstly, in terms of our network, yes, we're very happy with the existing network we've got, but we have got a few areas of the country that are open that we could do with some additional after-sales support coverage. And in fact, we're working with some potential partners in those areas across the country as we go forward. Of course, yes, we'd like to grow our market share. But for us, it's about making sure the customer experience through the purchase of the vehicle and all of the after-sales support support that we provide ourselves and through our dealer network whilst the customer operates that vehicle is the most important thing. So we're doing pretty well at 3.5 tonnes, as I said, number four in the market. We were about 5.5%, 6% market share there. Currently, I think at 7.5 tonnes, we're running about 40% market share. So if we can stay there and maintain that, but then also look to grow as we introduce our new model as we go into 2027, it'll be a great position for us to be in. I'm really excited about the future, Will. The next couple of years with this new range is really going to help us to take another step forward in the company's evolution.
Now, at the moment, there's quite a few new Chinese trucks coming onto the market, and of course, they have a similar footprint to yours in terms of actual vehicle size. I know they're mainly electric, but do you see them as a direct competition? Is that something to worry about, something to look out for in the future?
I think anybody entering the market is going to present itself as a competition to us with, as you just described, with a similar footprint. I think the biggest difference, and I think probably best Tim to comment here, is going to be the network. I think in commercial vehicles, yes, you've got to sell the product in the first place, but the real thing for our customers is about how well they are looked after. And I think over the years that the Isuzu truck has been in the UK, it's earned an enormous amount of trust and respect from our customers that know if they have any issues, we're there to support them.
Absolutely, 100%. I've been with the company a long time, and building the network has probably been the biggest challenge, to be completely honest, and having a good support network around you, good dealers around you. And we have that, so we're in a great position with regards to that. I'm sure some of the Chinese brands are good products, but obviously they don't have that at the moment. And making sure that we can support our customers throughout the whole life cycle is a big USP for us.
So finally then, when you look ahead, so 5 or 10 years' time, what do you want Isuzu Trucks UK to become?
I think the next 5-10 years are going to be really, really exciting, and in some ways, will really challenging. As you know, the market is changing, and with all of the legislation surrounding emissions and such like, I think there's going to be some challenges ahead. I think Isuzu globally bring us a big advantage in some of the partners they work with, some of the future technologies that we know that they're developing. Means for me, we're in a very secure position. I think Isuzu Truck, as part of the Isuzu Motors Limited organisation, is in a really strong position to take advantage of this new product that we're launching later this year, and then future products we bring along in the next 5 or 10 years. So I think the future for Isuzu Truck is very positive. It's a very solid one, and one that will continue to work hard to evolve in line with what our customers and the market demands.
Brilliant. And visitors to Road Transport Expo will definitely be able to see the new trucks in the metal.
They will. They absolutely will.
Fantastic. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. And I want to go and hear you at the bar now, speaking Japanese and ordering these four beers.
Arigato gozaimasu for having us on the podcast.
Arigato gozaimasu.
Arigato gozaimasu.
Very good. Thank you all.
Thank you.